listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start here on Straight Outta Vegas with the NFL draft and the move that drew the most criticism from people in sports media and fans around the NFL universe, and that was the Giants' selection of Duke quarterback Daniel Jones, number 6 overall.
I gotta tell you something. I got a theory. Haven't heard this anywhere else. So let me just throw some ideas at you, and then we'll see if we can build a case. Number one, who on the planet has the most motivation for the Giants either to not pick a quarterback or pick a quarterback who ends up not being particularly good?
Eli Manning.
I agree. Now, what is the story that came out today that one of the drivers of this pick was Peyton Manning and his depth of insight about just how good Daniel Jones is? Correct?
Correct.
So somehow we're saying, hey, brother of the quarterback, we're picking a quarterback to replace your brother. Help us out. Hey, I got some ideas, Peyton says. I'm skeptical. What do you think, Fez? It's
certainly plausible, isn't it?
Okay. Now, let's consider, and we always say this, when you bet, you have to define what you're handicapping. So, for example, if you're betting the MVP, you're not handicapping who had the best season. You're handicapping who the voters think had the best season. That's different. You got to consider the voter bias. Mostly in the NFL, we're thinking the goal is to win. Now, we can get a little more nuanced and say, well, would you rather have an 80% chance to make the playoffs but a less chance to make the Super Bowl, or more chance to make the Super Bowl but, you know, more of a chance of a real catastrophe too, you know, higher risk moves? We can debate all that. But in general, we think winning is what matters. Well, let me ask you a sincere question and be honest. You're the GM of a team. You're the GM of the Giants. Decision A, you think is best for the team. Decision B, you think increases the chance that you keep your job an extra period of time. Maybe an extra year, extra two. Now remember, these GMs are in a weird place. If you're working, you know, like my dad, a coal miner, my mom, a school teacher, if you're working for that, you know, normal salary, you look at these GMs and think, oh my God, they got more money than they know what to do with. But you think about, you know, obviously the taxes, obviously the lifestyle. These GMs sometimes are in a position where, hey, if they can get three more years, they're set for life. If they don't get three more years, they're going to be doing hits on local TV or something to make up the difference. So I don't have any great insight into the Giants GM's financial situation, but let's just say odds are he doesn't have so much money, he doesn't care, right? So now, two scenarios. One is you pick a Kyler Murray type. I know the Giants didn't have a chance to get him, but someone that you think, man, this guy, he should be starting this year, right? On the other hand, you do what you do here and you pick Daniel Jones, which feels like a project. Now, we can all debate, do you really take a project at number 6? But he feels like a project. Now, in scenario A, it's Manning versus Murray. At some point, Manning is going to have a bad couple of games. Murray comes in, and all of a sudden now, if he succeeds, the GM's in great shape. But what are the odds of any of these given quarterbacks succeeding? I think the old number was 50%. I think the new number's probably closer to 60 as passing's gotten easier and the bar of difficulty is lowered a little bit to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. But still, you got a 60% chance of, as a GM, saying, that's my guy. I picked him. Let's go to the promised land. Keep paying me. Versus 40% chance, bye-bye. All right. Now, in scenario B, you got Eli Manning. And we've got Eli Manning's numbers. And this is going to buck Brad a little bit. Brad Powers is here. And Brad is going to be making the case Daniel Jones and his numbers aren't that bad. So, you know, maybe let's do that now. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. This is Brad Powers. And then I'll come over the top.
All right, Daniel Jones. I'm going to make the case, not that Daniel Jones deserved to be the sixth pick, but if you listen to talk radio and the general media consensus about Daniel Jones, I mean, it was thought to be, at least if you're listening to these people, one of the most egregious selections that we see in the NFL draft.
Well, Stephen A. today said in New York, got the pulse on the city. He said, we need a drug test.
Wow.
The Giants GM.
See, I'm going to take the in-between approach. I think Daniel Jones can be a quality starting NFL quarterback. Here's his overall college stats. Completion percentage for his career, 60%. I mean, you'd like it to be a little higher, but that's not too bad. Threw for over 8,000 yards, nearly 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. And here's the thing people don't understand. Ran for more than 1,300 yards. He's more mobile. But here's my biggest thing. They're all, he couldn't compete against top-level competition. He's at Duke football, not Duke basketball. In 8 or 9 games this past season, he is severely out-talented. Don't believe me. Where's his help?
Yeah, but isn't that the situation where he feels like he's almost alone leading his team to a victory with inferior talent? Maybe they win some, maybe they lose some. But boy, let's look at these numbers again. And oh, by the way, we're going to compare them to Eli Manning's numbers last year. Now, we did the research and talked about it a few days ago. Last 3 seasons, best QBR for Eli Manning. So the 2018, 17, 16 season. Best QBR for Eli Manning was last year. So if age is the issue, how do you have your best season the most recent season? Now, Fez, you make an interesting point, which is the league's QBR is going up, but it doesn't mitigate this point.
It doesn't. And bottom line is Eli had a better QBR than 5 other starting quarterbacks last year. I'll read them real quick. Rosen, Jackson, Darnold, Carr, and the San Francisco quarterbacks. I could make a case. Certainly we expect.
So San Francisco, you combined them as a team QBR?
Well, he beat Jimmy G, and I knew that he would beat the rest of them.
Well, man, listen, you take that very seriously. Oh, wait, here's Fez historically.
I love Jimmy G.
I do. So if Eli was able to beat 5 out 5 starting NFL quarterbacks, I don't think Jones, coming in as a rookie, is going to be able to do the same.
Yeah, I heard Sal Powell on ESPN yesterday say if he had to, you know, make a major bet on Eli Manning's stat. I mean, how do you measure a quarterback? Let's just use QBR. I don't think any measurement's perfect. But let's use QBR. He said he would bet Eli Manning has a better QBR than any rookie quarterback this year. Meaning, not that he will have a better QBR than all of them, but rather you can pick anyone you want and put him heads up against Eli next season. So Kyler Murray would seem to be the one as the number one pick. Who's going to have a better QBR, Kyler Murray or Eli Manning? Fez, who would you take?
Eli, because Kyler Murray has to play for Arizona, right?
That's interesting. So in a weird way, there's all, it feels like it's like the smart people think Eli stinks and the dumb people think Eli is good. I think Eli is a little bit better than his reputation right now. And let's look at these numbers real quick. Completion percentage, Daniel Jones at Duke and playing Temple, Wake Forest, Clemson, North Carolina, etc. 60%. Eli Manning, 66, playing against the freaking NFL. Yards per game, Daniel Jones, 243 last year. Eli 268. Yards per attempt, Fez, your favorite single stat.
Yes.
6.8 yards, Daniel Jones, 7.5 Eli Manning. So Eli Manning has better stats against the NFL than Daniel Jones has against college. Now, if he's a project, maybe in 2 or 3 years that changes, but that finishes the story. First, Brad.
I think it's a totally unfair comparison, and here's why.
Hold on a second. Between playing against teams that Duke plays versus the NFL?
Yeah, look at his supporting cast. I would argue Eli Manning has a top five running back and a top five wide receiver.
Well, hold on a second. You can cherry pick anything you want, but if you look at Giants' offense as a team last year, it certainly wasn't a great offense. So relative to the competition in the NFL, I don't think I think Duke, relative to their competition on offense, and Giants relative to the NFL competition, probably both are at a deficit and a fairly significant one to the average teams they're playing. Right?
No, I don't think so. When you have a top five running back and a top five wide receiver.
I mean, it's like you're playing fantasy, like one of those Stratomatic games where we're going to roll dice. You look, we got the results. We don't have to speculate how good that OBJ Giants team was. We have the numbers. They weren't that great.
And why weren't they good? Eli Manning, maybe?
Well, he had a better QBR than a lot of quarterbacks, so
five.
Now, let's to some degree, and this is important, whatever decimal points we're arguing about don't matter. What I think we all agree with, and you might be right about it, I might be right, but I think what we agree with is Eli, well, this is objective, had a better year last year than he did the year before. And I also think, to finish the conspiracy, and again, I don't like conspiracies. It's the world that imposes them on me. Eli, why did the prior Giants GM get fired?
For benching Eli.
Okay. So now imagine the following. This year, Eli plays, Jones the project. Hey, trust the process. One day, he's 6'5", baby. We got our next Eli. Next year, Eli plays. Jones is sitting there. Yeah, we wish he was playing, but when you have Eli, why would you? And then maybe in year three, Jones plays. And let's say he's got a 40% chance to succeed. The average first-round quarterback, maybe 60%. Let's say this guy is as bad as people think. He's still got a chance. He should have went in the, late second round? A late second round quarterback has a pretty decent chance to succeed. So now the GM now has a 40% chance that Jones succeeds, and he keeps going. He almost guarantees himself 3 years with this move. Because really, the time of judgment doesn't happen till 3 years from now. And the Giants fans are placated by Eli being there. They get to root for him and think about their Super Bowls. So to me, we can sit and act like these guys are dumb. And I'm not sure I'm right about this.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I mean, one of the best.
Yeah. Guys, so there has been all sorts of stuff thrown out there in regards to draft grades. You've had stuff with ESPN, NFL Network. Every website that covers the NFL draft now comes out with draft grades. But RJ, you think they might all be completely worthless?
I almost do. I'm going to give you one exception at the end. But think about this for a second. The only way you can grade somebody is if you know them, if you know the subject matter better than they do. So now listen, if there's the answers in the back of the book, it's a moot point. There is no book with the answers when it comes to the NFL draft. So if me and Fezzik are debating a point, oftentimes we're about at the same level. If it comes to handicapping, Fez is going to usually have a little edge on me, if not bigger than a little. If it comes to other matters, maybe I've got a little edge. But we're having a debate, right? But there's some things I don't know anything about, and Fez could teach me. And then I would do it, and he would say, good, or he would say, bad. Now, let's think about the one case that proves my point so much, I can just say, case closed, and walk away. Oh, by the way, did you see, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Did you see Lee Corso yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, I've now added a second sign that you're truly big time. The first sign, as we've often said, is talking about $1 million, a million as a stick. So acts on billions, he'll say, give him five sticks. That means give him 5 million.
Wags, five sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
That is bad. All right. I now found a second one. In the middle of a segment. You would think the guy would wait till the commercial. There's a commercial like every 8 minutes. He just stands up, starts unmiking himself, and he's, guys, I gotta go. and he's like, no one has the guts to tell. I mean, what are they gonna tell Lee Corso?
Nothing.
Like, we're gonna fine you a week's pay? So anyway, gotta love it.
He don't give a care.
Next level stuff. Now, Mike Mayock. Mayock. Last year, he was with the NFL Network. And what was he doing?
NFL draft expert.
And he was grading the GMs. So the assumption was he knew more than the GMs about their team. It's one thing to say that there can be expert, because let's think about it. If Belichick went to TV, the year after he retires, that TV guy is going to know more in a vacuum, abstractly, than any coach out there. But even Belichick is going to say, and he'll probably would say it so relentlessly it'd get boring, listen, this is what I believe generally. We don't know what's going on in that building. We can't really judge. Because how can we? We don't know if the Steelers know something about their tight end, that his knee is hurt, so they need, and maybe it's degenerative, and they need a tight end more than we think they do. All right. But if you think about Mayock, last year he was the one doing the grading. Now he gets the GM's job. You would assume a pretty major raise financially, all right? GMs make more than talking heads, usually. And now, Mayock's getting graded. So somehow last year, he knew more than the GMs, and now he's a GM, so the other talking heads know more than him. How absurd is that, right? We don't know. I think the only exception to that. Now, listen, we got to talk, so I get it, right? But boy, if money's involved, and that's the thing with Straight Out of Vegas, with what we're doing, we've got our mandate, our responsibility is stronger, right? Colin goes off on a rant. Maybe he thinks, I'm not saying Colin thinks this or not, but someone like Colin might say, I'm not quite sure I believe this, but it sounds good. I'm not comfortable doing that when there's literally hundreds of thousands of listeners right now to Straight Out of Vegas, to me. And even if 10% bet $10 on something we say, there's a million plus dollars, a stick on it, all right, across the country. I don't, in fact, let's open the floor for a second. Make a case where Mel Kiper's grade could possibly have more insight. Because here's the thing, and this is going to blow your mind. Every team went to bed last night thinking they had the perfect draft given the situation. Because they had the choice. Imagine you're in a fantasy draft. Unless you somehow enter the wrong player, you're done with that draft saying, did as well as I could do. It might have been the stupidest move here, there, but you thought it was the right move. So every GM believes they had a perfect draft given the givens. Now it's their opinion against the Mel Kuypers of the world. Fez, can you make the case the Mel Kuypers have more insight?
Oh, absolutely not. And the ultimate barometer of who got an A and who got an F, RJ, is how well are these teams going to do this coming year and in the future? And I can tell you this, the odds were out.
Oh, but hold on a second. You're saying the ultimate barometer of an A and an F now is something we don't know now.
Correct, but I do know this.
So there should be no grades at all.
And there are no grades because not one NFL team had their lines move at all based upon what happened in the draft.
And I think that says, you know, to me, the only exceptions to that are, in my opinion, if a team, and I'm not saying week one lines necessarily, if a team takes a quarterback that has no good quarterback, at least they have a chance at a good quarterback.
Right.
Right. And I also believe a team like the Patriots, with so many draft choices, if you give Belichick two shots and everyone else is getting one, it's probably going to improve that team a ton. You know, we said it yesterday, but it is mind-blowing to think the way you could get Mel Kuyper. And it's not about Mel Kuyper. I respect Mel a ton. He's created an industry. I don't think he knows more than Colbert, the Steelers GM, about the Steelers. Right? Is the way you could get a perfect grade for Mel is each time your pick came up, just turn on ESPN, look at the bottom of the screen, see which player. You could just, you don't even have to have scouts. You don't need a scouting department. You don't need film. Just so you have ESPN cable, right? And you could get that over the top or whatever. You look at the bottom, Mel Kuyper tells you to pick because that's the guy that he thinks is the best guy left. And if you pick them every time, what kind of grade you'd get? It'd be, this is the greatest draft in history, would be the headline.
Mel Kuyper's doing pro bono work for me. Don't even have to pay him. Beautiful.
Exactly. And let's just say this. If Mel Kuyper or any of these draft experts I can think of, and again, there might be exceptions where this guy's a GM level guy that doesn't have a job, I'm not going to be optimistic about that team winning very much. So, yes, let's enjoy the experience. Let's talk about it. But understand, we're not sure about any of this. And I think the one possible exception quickly is if everybody disagrees. All the experts, I mean. So let's say we've got 12 experts you trust. If 12 experts disagree, now it's starting to be the wisdom of crowds where even one GM with more insight and maybe more expertise against 12 that are close. And to me, those teams this year were the Raiders. Seemed like almost every, now the debate was it horrendous or just bad? The Giants, again, we talked about Daniel Jones, but also they took a nose tackle from Clemson. And now that, think about it, running back last year with the first pick, nose tackle this year. It feels like this is a different NFL the Giants are getting ready for.
Good point.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. The NBA playoffs are a busy one this weekend. We get it started tonight at Staples Center where the Warriors are at the Clippers. A 10 Eastern time tip-off. Golden State up 3-2 in the series and a 10-point favorite in this one.
Typical shows would have been talking about this from the front. We haven't even mentioned it. Actually, I forgot. We've got a 20-2 trend in this game. Brad Powers.
Yeah, and it's shocking to say the least. Road favorites of 7 points or more in the NBA playoffs the last 7 years. 22-0 straight up. 20-2 against the spread, RJ.
So 7 years, 7 points or more on the road. Perfect on the money line, winning the game. 20-2 against the spread. Now, to me, it means something. It means when these superior teams are focused because they're on the road, they tend to extend these leads and play really well. Fez, who do you like in the game?
I am passing the game because the...
Oh, that's fascinating.
I like the total argument.
Oh!
I'm going under 231. It's all about defensive effort. Golden State, that effort was lacking in their loss. Their shocking loss at home. I expect their effort will be there on defense. We're going to go under the 231.
I'm a little skeptical because I think if Golden State gets a lead... A big lead at the end. They're going to be alley-ooping. They're going to be, because they got, I know they got Houston coming up, but it feels like it's going to be such a relief from all the skepticism. By the way, since Durant's been at Golden State, the Warriors have only had one playoff series longer than five games, the Houston series last year. So this is the second time in three seasons it's gone more than five games. Again, Golden State's doing things this year I've never seen him do with Durant. I think it's a concern if you're a Golden State fan.
Following the Spurs win over the Nuggets last night, we've got a Game 7 set for tomorrow night at Denver, and the Nuggets are a six-point favorite.
Fez, we got like 20 seconds a game here. This line seems crazy to me. Home field, home court for Denver is 4. All of a sudden now, in a Game 7 that Denver's never played, that Malone... The coach has never coached a Game 7. They're against Popovich. Somehow they're going to be like 2 points better. 4 + 2 = 6. Why not love the Spurs here?
Yeah, because of the home court advantage.
So you don't love the Spurs?
I don't love the Spurs. I lean to the Spurs because Denver, best home record in the NBA, 34-7 straight up during the regular season.
Yeah, and the Spurs weren't great on the road either.
Game 1 between the Sixers and the Raptors coming up tomorrow night, and Toronto is a 6.5-point favorite.
10 seconds.
I'm going to lean to Toronto, 3-1 series advantage. The only loss Toronto had against Philly was when Kawhi Leonard did not play during the regular season.
So you're saying matchup edge for not just a better team, but you like the matchup.
Yes.
Game 1 between the Bucks and the Celtics sees Milwaukee a 7.5-point favorite on Sunday.
Now, what's Milwaukee's home court?
Home court? 4 for their home court advantage? Yes, 4.
I mean, this guy. You know something? You're not getting. I'll give you 10 more seconds. I mean, what could he think I meant by Milwaukee's home court? What do you mean?
It's 4.
All right. And the line's 7. So somehow Milwaukee's 3 points better. They're getting a lot of love. 10 seconds.
I've got them 3.5 points better. They got revenge, playoff revenge from losing Game 7 against Boston last year. I'd lean to Milwaukee.
When you say Milwaukee, what do you mean? Oh, wait. Fez. I mean, he ends the week with it, Jonas.
It's a Friday with Fez. Come on.
He's as reliable as the sun coming up.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.